believe Big Boy opened up for Christina Aguilera at her concert a couple weeks ago here in Houston?
Did he really?
Man, Outkast needs to get back together.
Man, that seems beneath him.
That's what I thought, right? Hey, he was the halftime entertainment at the Texans game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where's Outkast in your all-time rap duo group? Or just rap group as a whole?
Rap group as a whole.
Top five, right? Yeah, gotta be top five.
This is classic. Everything they did, they reinvented themselves in so many different areas.
Yeah, they did.
So many different
styles. Well, you graduated high school.
2002.
All right. So you're what, 34?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Class of 99 right here, so we're in that same we're in that same age group, same age group ish. What are you tipping the scales at these days age wise there, BP?
31.
Look at you, man, rocking your HBU shirt today. I like it, representing those Huskies. All right, so let's get right down to it. The good, the bad, and the ugly of your Texans. 9 weeks into the regular season, real quick. Bye weeks can come at all times of the season. I would think that as an NFL player, if you're a Houston Texan, this couldn't come at a better, just if you're an NFL player at a whole.
Yeah.
To me, you don't want it too early in the season, right? Because it still feels like you still got like 15 weeks left, right? I mean, they don't do it in the first. I think what, week four, week five is the first time they do a bye, is the first time you see a bye week. I would think somewhere between week 10 and week 13, 14 is the best time.
Of course.
For a bye week.
There's nothing like, you have a bye week, and even if you go home, like uh-huh. even if you leave, you know, let's be honest, not a lot of the Texans players might live in Houston.
Okay.
Even if they go home and visit family, I mean, it's just so relaxing.
To just decompress.
Man, but it comes at the right time. So imagine, you know, for week one, week two of the season, you have a bye week. You're like, man, I don't really want to go home. I was just home.
Exactly.
And so right now is a perfect time. It couldn't come at a better time for the Texans in terms of making a push and a run for, you know, the postseason, and the guys being banged up and so forth.
And it feels like, too, that, you know, some people might say, well, you know, they're on such a, you know, they're on a 6-game win streak right now. Do you really want to interrupt that momentum? But I feel like with football, you can get away with a break in the middle of something like that because of the physical exertion and the toll that it takes on a body that really, again, we considering where the season started, the next 6 weeks, and not just the way they've won, not just the fact that they've won 6 games in a row, but the manner in which they've won those 6 games. I mean, you want to. I know a lot of people made a lot out of the game against Denver, and where, oh, you know, I mean, the only reason you won was because Vance Joseph screwed it up. Hey, listen, doesn't matter. Okay,
it doesn't matter. A win's a win. The thing that's really important to understand is the mental stress that goes into each week.
See, that's the key.
In preparation. So that's what's really...
Is that more taxing than the physical side?
It's more taxing than the physical side. So that's really what you're getting a break
okay.
from. Each week, and yes, the Texans have won 6 in a row, and we don't want to mess up the mojo and all that, but to be able to decompress and... Because each week you're like, reset button.
Yeah.
Forget what you did last week. Forget the game plan that you put together. This is a new opponent. I got to study first down all over again. I got to study second down plays. I got to do it all over again each week. So being able to have a week off where you're just like,
yeah,
that's so important.
So would you go back to Mass, kick it with moms and pops, or
no,
what?
No, I wouldn't. I would not go back to Massachusetts on a bye week. That's not on the list of things to do.
So of all people to go home, while it is good to go home for some players,
yeah. If you live in
James
California,
James Ahedebo was not one of those people that went home during the bye week. What would you do during the bye week? Give me an example of what was your most relaxing and or memorable bye week that you can remember?
A bunch of us, you know, we had maybe in Baltimore, we had 4 couples.
And
we went to Puerto Rico for the bye week.
Little R&R?
You know, just got away and...
Amherst, Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico,
Close second. Just not quite the same. Yeah. All right, here we go. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the ugly first. Mine's pretty simple, and I don't think it's going to surprise a lot of people. The 0-3 start. All right, that was the ugliest part of the season right there for a team that had, and again, still has ridiculous expectations, and rightfully so, considering in the 5th year of the Bill O'Brien era, this is the most talented team he's had on paper. Everything is in place as far as... Listen, we get it. There's still things on this roster that need to be fixed. The offensive line certainly comes to mind. Wouldn't mind an extra playmaker or two and a little more depth at the cornerback spot. But that being said, he's got his GM in place, and we're gonna get to Brian Gain here in a little bit. But everything was put in place for Bill O'Brien. Stumbled out of the gates. You lost 3 games. I mean, you still look at it. The one game that I think still hurts the most out of all those three has got to be the Giants loss, considering that they've only won 1 game. And when you look at that 1 game, that's the Texans. So, that being said, for me, you bounce back from it. But nonetheless, the 0-3 start was the ugliest part of the year for me.
Hey, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you think about how the Texans were playing through that three-game skid.
Yeah.
It was Deshaun Watson. Everyone questioned, man, is he going to be what we expect him
exactly.
to be?
Where's that offense at?
Where's the offense at? Where's the connection with DeAndre Hopkins?
De'Veon didn't look good those first 3 weeks.
De'Veon didn't look good.
No.
J.J. Watt, everyone was questioning, is he going to be back to his form? It was question marks all along the board, and the Texans' performance, they felt the pressure of that.
Yeah.
They weren't coming into their own as early as everyone expected.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that was the ugly for me as well.
Okay, so you got the ugly as 0-3 start as well. Great minds think alike. All right, so there's that. The bad for me, and it's kind of a combination here, offensive play calling and the O-line.
Ooh.
All right, offensive play calling, the O-line. And what I want to say about the offensive play calling, listen, I think Bill O'Brien has gotten better as a play caller. I really, really do. However, I just think there have been times where this offense has been stagnant. I feel like, you know, you were kind of so hyper-reliant upon, and I get it, every team needs a run game, right? But I feel like sometimes, and we get it, he loves to run it on first down, and, you know, we've talked about this. I'd like to see him mix it up a little bit more. I'm not as broken up about his play calling in the Denver Bronco game simply because, A, I think this team was just, you know, just between Demaryius Thomas really not having any other wide receivers outside of D-Hop that you could really throw to. And you know, again, the tight ends were underutilized. I think that's one of the – I guess you throw that in the bad as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've underutilized the tight ends. But that could be a byproduct too, though, James, of – it's a relatively new – I mean, think about it. Your two main producers right now are rookies.
Are rookies. They're new to the system. They're new to playing in the NFL, the expectations, all of that. So,
So, offensive play calling, again, to me it's the bad because I feel like it could be a lot better, but that may be a byproduct of personnel and what you got available on the field as well. And then O-line. I mean, let's call it what it is. The first 6 weeks of the season, the O-line was abysmal. I feel like, though, this last 3 weeks, not enough has been made of just how well this offensive line has played. I think Kendall Lamb might be one of your unspoken MVPs. And who would have ever thought you'd have used those words and phrases in the same line? Probably not many outside of Kendall Lamb's immediate family. So, listen, how about that offensive line? Again, less than five hits in the last three games, less than three or four sacks. And again, I think of those four sacks against the Denver Broncos, two of those really weren't even off on the O-line. So that's my bad offensive play calling an O-line.
Man, I love it. It's... We're kind of, you know, great minds think alike, man.
Yeah, they do,
great
James.
Minds
yeah, they
think
do.
Alike.
You want to throw me in that UMass Hall of Fame? Feel free.
My bad is I'm going to go with points per game because,
really?
You know, you think about if the longevity and what we want to be as a team is a championship.
Yeah.
But we got to start measuring up to teams that are playing championship style football.
Dropping 52 points on a Thursday night.
Pittsburgh dropping 52. The Patriots just dismantling Green Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, these are teams, the Kansas City Chiefs, what they do on offense, these are teams
that you're not allowed to speak about the Chiefs.
You're going to have to play at some point this season.
Don't forget about the Chargers.
And the Chargers.
Don't forget about the Chargers.
So my bad is our points per game. We have to score. And then, you know, the slash to that is red zone.
Oh,
we're not.
You can almost throw that in the ugly.
We're not scoring points.
No,
we're not scoring points.
Field goals are not going to beat those teams.
They're not going to beat those teams.
That's a great point.
You know, we're not scoring points when we have the opportunity. We're pushing the ball down the field. We're getting to where we need to be within the red zone, and then we're choking. I'm a firm believer, and everyone knows. I say it all the time. It's a copycat league.
Yeah, it is.
Start studying film of what other teams do in the red zone that is effective. And just tweak it into your own terms and philosophy to score points. I don't care if you have to do a trick play here or there to score and get in the red zone, or shovel pass, or, you know, zone read, play action. Let's get in the end zone. That's my bad.
I will say this about the Houston Texans, all right? And I don't think this is an accident, all right? So for the first 6 weeks of the season, they were hovering in that 31-32 spot, ranked red zone percentage right around 35, 36, 37%. In their last 3 weeks, they have converted, these are touchdowns, mind you, not field goals in the red zone, they have converted 73% of their red zone opportunities into touchdowns, all right? A far cry and a much bigger improvement over what they were doing for the first 6 weeks of the season. They now went from, wait for it, 31st in the National Football League for those first 6 weeks. They now sit at
28th overall.
Hey.
So you know what? Incremental progress.
Some improvement
baby
is
steps.
Better than no improvement.
That's exactly right, James Adebo. You would know. So they're sitting at 46% touchdown percentage right now in the red zone, which, again, I'll take 46 over 36 any day of the week when it comes to scoring touchdowns. So, and the one thing that you can say about going into the second half of the season, James, is now you've got three now bona fide red zone targets in D-Hop. You know what you're getting out of him.
Yep.
Jordan Thomas has started to morph into a red zone target. He's got 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks of the regular season for the Texans. And then, of course, Demaryius Thomas and that big body, 6'3", 240, 245, whatever he had. He was a cheeseburger away from being a tight end these days. But it doesn't matter,
it doesn't matter.
And girls, because he's doing the damn thing. I'm still waiting for my boy Vincent Smith to get some run because I think he's the one guy, and I'm just saying this as a random aside, who could really, really benefit with this wide receiver group. Now, whether he will or not, I mean, the guy's coming from Limestone College.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, just real quick as an aside. UMass is an FCS school, correct? When
yep.
it comes to football?
Yep.
All right.
Barely.
How difficult was the transition from a speed-wise and just from the overall speed and just the physicality of the game going from, because we hear about it all the way, you know, I mean, we hear about it from FBS, Division I, to the NFL. How big of a jump was it from UMass to the NFL?
So they're FCS when I was there. Now
okay.
they're FBS.
Oh, they are an FBS
yeah,
school
yeah.
now. Okay.
Now, all right. Barely. They're by the thread of their team.
They're a poor man's App State.
Yes. Very so. But for me, I'll tell you what, the speed was so bad that in mandatory minicamp, I popped my hamstring.
Oh, really?
Literally.
In minicamp.
Popped it. And here you are. You, everyone's listening like, man, this guy was injury plagued
this
whole
time.
No, I didn't go to combine. I told you. I just went to FCS school. What do you mean?
Well, maybe they invited you.
No, I didn't go to the combine. they barely even knew who I was. Jeez, I think I had to mail them an invitation.
What'd you run your 40 at the combine? Or at your pro day?
At the pro day, believe it or not, I ran a 4.65. So I was slow in their mind. Went to an FCS school.
You ran a 4.65?
But to my defense, it was cold that night, will it? No. No, but to my defense.
I mean, you sure you didn't pop the hamstring before the 40?
To my defense, we ran it outside in the winter, and it was literally, it was freezing. It was freezing.
I slipped out of the gate is what happened was.
I wasn't wearing my running shoes.
That's right.
I was wearing Timberlands when I was wearing my 40.
You know they weren't laced up all the way. If you ran a 4.6 and four in what you wear, some Sean John jeans and some Timbos, that's impressive. When you put it in its complete context,
you gotta understand the context of which I ran the 40.
He was wearing a fat goose coat. So yeah, triple fat goose coat. So you know what? When you really put it in that perspective, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Then you know now you understand. You know. But yeah, no, it was everything that could possibly gone wrong went wrong in terms
Sounds
of.
Like it.
Yes.
So how did you get an invite to camp then? I mean, what did your agent tell people?
Just watch the tape. Watch the guy play, and I can guarantee you he has the intangibles, man. It's the intangibles. You gotta...
Jerry Rice was slow, too.
This guy's a gamer. He's a gamer. Don't worry about the numbers. He's a gamer. You give him a chance.
Oh, man. You were Chip on the shoulder guy.
Yeah.
You were Chip on the shoulder guy. Were you the first ever black deceptively fast guy? No, he's deceptively fast.
I was like the black. I was like the black Rudy. Just give him a chance, coach. He's been here long enough.
Come on, man. The guy's playing at UMass, for Christ's sake. What do you want from him, okay?
Oh,
that's impressive. I had no idea. You ran a 4.6 5.40, and look, 10 years in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Obviously, you did something right. All right. We got to finish up our good, bad, the ugly. We'll do that in the next segment. And Astros, we got some Astro hardware to give out. We got some Silver Slugger awards, which, you know, I mean, is people excited about that? Does it really matter? And why this guy should be in the conversation for MVP. I'll tell you who that is next. Lots to get to. Glad to have you on board. Don't go anywhere. It's In the Loop on a Friday. Welcome back in. Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And listen, you know we love the loopholes out there, and we love the lady loopholes as well. Shout out to our girl Lauren from Prairie View. Tell you what, she got a lot of love on the think tank the other day, and of course, she had the internet going nuts yesterday. So we'll see if she can make a return trip to the think tank today. Got to give a shout out to another female loophole, a girl, Ashley Ann, diehard 610 listener, fan of the program as well, and she drives a hard bargain as far as what she expects to hear from just radio overall radio greatness. So shout out to our girl Ashley Ann for being a supporter of the program as well as the station. She said, "Now, how do I get one of them shout outs?" So there you go, Ashley. There is your shout out, diehard Texans fan. So we gotta love up the ladies every now and again. You gotta love up the ladies.
Gotta let them know they're appreciated.
That's right. No. That's right. I always think of that "Dear Mama" song from Tupac. You are appreciated, baby. Don't you know I love you, dear Mama? All right, here we go. When was the last time you talked to your mom?
Talked to her yesterday.
There you go.
Yesterday. You gotta talk to mom.
Got to. BP, when was the last time you talked to your mom?
This morning.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, please don't tell me your mom's dead, because that's, I did that one time. That's real bad. That's real bad. One time, real quick story. We got Veterans Day coming up around the corner. So I did, back in the day when I was in the Navy, we were, and you can imagine 20-year-old Fred, just a lunatic, just of epic proportions. So we're sitting in, it was a Friday, I'll never forget as long as I live. So we're sitting in maintenance control, we're all hanging out, it was a holiday coming up, so we're all just kind of waiting for the Master Chief to let us go. And we're all in, and it's like a locker room, right? Yeah. I mean, that's why I think military and sports guys get along so well, because the mentality is very similar. So we're all in there, we're coking and joking, cracking jokes or whatever. And we had this PR-1 Bremer, I'll never forget as long as I live. And we were giving him a hard time because he was always bagging on women. And and he just had he was real weird about it, right? So we busted his chops, and I said, what is your problem, dude? I said, what, did your mom try killing your dad or something? And then it just got real quiet. After we all started laughing, of course. And he said, well, actually, Fred, yes, she did.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Ugh. Homeboy's mom had been pouring Pine Sol in her husband's cereal for a bunch of years. Or not years, months, whatever, trying to kill him. And then when the dad just got real sick one morning, it was just like, had to rush to the hospital, okay? And the doctor's like, someone's been, you've been drinking Pine Sol. Like, so I'm guessing you didn't do that voluntarily, okay? So clearly someone's been trying to poison you. Who could it be?
We ran some tests and you had Pine Sol in your system.
Who's making the cereal in the morning? Well, the wifey was. Go back home, she gone.
Yeah.
Didn't press charges either.
Wow.
Now this was, let's see, what are we in? 2018? So this would have been in 2000, 1999, 2000. Don't know what the story, the latest or greatest is. He ended up meeting, and I'll put a bow on the story like this. What was the name of it? He was playing a game back in the day, and this was around 2000. There was an online game, and I know the texters will think of it, that was kind of ahead of its time, where people but it was a computer game, people all over the country were playing it for hours, how kids were killing themselves over it. It was kind of like the first real phenomenon of people playing. And this dude, and he ended up meeting his wife, who lived in California. We were in Maine, and he meets this woman, like this goth chick, brings her over from California, her two little goth kids. Craziest thing I ever saw in my life.
Oh.
That's the military for you. That's the military. And we thank all of you for your service,
yes,
okay? We thank all of you for your service. All right, so there's that. All right, so we did the good, the bad, the ugly. Here's the ugly, we both agreed, was the 0-3 start. Yeah. The bad was the offensive play calling, as well as the O-line, points per game, and red zone woes,
yeah,
which we will admit has gotten better in the last 3 weeks. Now, the good for your Houston Texans, as you see it, for the first 9 weeks of the season, James Ahedebo is
6 wins in a row.
That's it. Six wins in a row.
You find a way to win, and every win isn't going to be pretty. You see how hard they fought in Denver and winning on the road. Sometimes it's not how you win. It's just the fact that you get the W, and they've been able to knock out 6 of them in a row. So there's something to that. They have a formula that's working. They just got to continue to grow. But that's definitely the good. 6 in a row on my end.
And a lot of people are saying, well, look at who they've beaten. Look at how they've won. And again, make no mistake about it. All right. They've gotten lucky in some of those wins.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and they've gotten the benefit of the doubt in the sense that, Frank Wright going forward on
fourth and four. Down, yeah.
Which I was, he caught a lot of flack for that decision to go for it on fourth and four. And, what happens if you end up losing out by a week or something, or out by a game? you could, to me, as much as everybody wants to point about how bad of a move it was, I think in some ways maybe it's galvanized this football team. Because, I mean, again, they're 3-5. You were looking at their schedule earlier. I mean, this is a team that a lot of people are saying could make a run in the AFC South. And if something, you know, if the Texans slip up, God forbid, hey, what that schedule they've got is as slim pickings as you get for any other NFL team right now. So they, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but again, with the way Andrew Luck's playing and with the way he's, you know, got that offense is rocking and rolling, Marlon Mack toting the rock a little bit. So one thing I wanted to point out to you, for all the people that want to say, well, look at what you've done over those, you know, who have you played over those six games? Well, let me ask you this, all right? I looked at the schedule, and this isn't including the Pittsburgh game last night, but going through the first 9 weeks of the season, and more importantly, the last six games, and again, I didn't include the Pittsburgh game from last night. When you look at the teams that the Texans played during that six-game stretch, during their six-game winning streak, okay, their opponents' record were 19-32. All right, during during that six-game win streak. All right, 19-32, not the best, all right, but not the worst. Chiefs during that same six-game stretch, which, by the way, they're 5-1 during that stretch, 22-28-1, their opponents' records. Patriots, 27-23-1, go figure. Steelers before last night, and oh, by the way, they're 5-1 during this last 6 weeks, now 6-1. 22-27-1, and the Chargers, who were 5-1, their only loss going to the Los Angeles Rams, 20-29-1. So you can point to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
everyone's right there.
They're in they're outside of the Patriots, yeah. Which, you know, Patriots do Patriots. And one of the things about the Patriots is they had the Chiefs in there as kind of an outlier, so sitting at 8-1. But, yeah. I mean, listen, man, again, you can only win. What was Hill saying? You can only beat the teams that are in front of you?
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, it's so competitive in the NFL when it comes to wins and losses. Everyone is right there in the mix in terms of
exactly
the opponents
right.
they play. And it's still, you know, at that point, you know, early on in the season where come November, December, that's when teams start to separate themselves.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to know, hey, who's on my schedule that truly sucks and who's a team that we're going to play coming up that's, you know, can make a run at the playoffs as well.
Does it bother you at all that, you know, the Steelers play last night, and we're going to get to them here in the second hour as far as what Le'Veon Bell is going to bring, because from all reports, he's going to join that team next week. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, how are they going to work it out with him and James Conner? James Conner's a better running back. James Ahedabo is going to dispel any notion of that, that there's this, oh, well, James Conner, you know, you can just replace anybody with Le'Veon Bell. I'm a big believer. Listen, the dude's a freak, all right? I mean, I get it. The numbers are the numbers, but
pure foolishness. Foolishness. If you think that Le'Veon Bell is going to sit the bench and James Conner, you know, sounds like, you know,
sounds
whatever.
Like Terminator.
Yeah,
Terminator
is going to be starting. Why, you know, Le'Veon Bell is going to be getting $7.5-8 million sitting on the bench. You've lost your mind.
Not so. And it shouldn't diminish his value either. You know, like, ah, well, what's he done? No.
We'll get
into that here in the 11 o'clock hour. But the fact that they don't have that, like last night was kind of a statement game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Because Carolina's been hot, you know, 6-2, Cam Newton, the offense has been playing well, and they come in last night and get absolutely just curb stomped by the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Texans, when you look on their schedule, I mean, the Redskins, you could almost argue the Redskins are kind of like the NFC version of the Texans.
Yeah.
No, they're like this middling team.
But I think they're below that. I don't even want to give them that much credit.
Well, I mean, I guess just not this. I mean, obviously, don't get me wrong. Deshaun puts the Texans in a different stratosphere. But I'm just saying as far as they just kind of meld.
Yeah, they're there.
Yes.
They're not
never
too high, not too low.
Exactly. They're somewhere.
They're dangerous because they could still sneak up.
Yes.
They can be. We'll talk about it. But I think in reality for the Texans, The biggest thing is they have back-to-back road games. Even though it's a bye in between, can you perform? Can you improve on the road playing in D.C. against the Redskins? I think that's really going to be the test, more so than just their opponent and who they're playing.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. So your good was the six-game win streak. I'm all about that as well. My good, and there's so many different things you could point to, J.J. Watt coming back with a huge resurgence here this year. I mean, you know what, 9 sacks already through 9 weeks. I mean, he's on a pace. I mean, really, right now he's on a pace for 16 sacks.
Yeah. Come back
if
player
he keeps
of the year
it up. He's got to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if he continues to play at this level.
Right.
So you got that. Let me ask you this. Who would be a better comeback player of the year, him or Deshaun Watson?
Well, if Deshaun can put up, you know, if we can get some more touchdowns, if he can throw some more touchdowns.
Yeah.
I know he has 17 right now, and it's like.
Still a pretty good play. Still, I mean, we can't all be Pat Mahomes.
I know. Beggars just can't be choosers, you know. But,
no,
but at the same time, I mean, if he gets just a little bit higher, elevates his game just a little bit higher, Yeah, I would put him
well,
up there.
Well, I mean, hell, if he throws 17 in the second half. I mean, if he finishes the season with 34 touchdowns, yeah. You'll take that all day, every day. Okay. All right. Yeah. And plus, you know, listen, he's gone 3 weeks in a row without throwing an interception. My good, because we're going to get to, because Deshaun Watson to me, I mean, obviously he's been great considering, you know, what he's coming back from. And again, the O-line that he's had to play behind for the first 6 weeks. And again, I thought they've gotten better in the last three. But to me, the group that has really exceeded expectations is the secondary. All right. Considering how banged up that group's been, you lost. I mean, let's put it this way. 2.5 of the guys that you planned on to be your starting secondary have been out for a majority of the first part of the season, right? Kevin Johnson, God bless him, all right? I mean, he probably won't play the rest of the year.
Nope.
If all things. Have you ever been knocked out by a wide receiver?
No. I wouldn't give a wide receiver that much respect.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
knocked
he got
me
I mean,
out? Are you kidding me?
Not only did he knock you out, but ended your season.
Ended your season. Put you on IR. No. That would kill my street cred.
You couldn't go back to Amherst.
I couldn't go. I couldn't go on vacation. I couldn't go anywhere. Forget about that.
I mean, I get it. Cordarrelle Patterson's a big dude.
I don't care. Not no wide receiver. No way.
Under no circumstances.
Under no circumstances.
Is
that
it
allowed.
Ever okay to have your season ended trying to tackle a wide receiver?
Oh man, I'd walk through the building and. You know, other DBs would say, hey, you remember how your season ended? You remember who ran you
Do you
over?
Think guys are giving him a hard time about that?
No, but I'm just saying, if it happened to me, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, like, how does it, I mean, is that just one of them unspoken things in the locker room where they just don't say anything because they just know how embarrassing
yeah.
it is?
Yeah.
Poor K-Joe. So here's the deal. So Kevin Johnson, who is one of your, who's slated to be one of your starting cornerbacks, he's been out since week one. Colvin has been gone since what, week three, week four, something like that. He's been out, for the majority of the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm not going to say he was a disappointment. He was just okay through the first 3-4 weeks of the season. Obviously, Jonathan Joseph, he's been solid, but has missed the last game after getting the little knee injury thanks to Jadeveon Clowney flying in. So you've had Kareem Jackson, who, real quick, because we're up against it, are you surprised at how he's made the transition from cornerback to safety and then, of course, back to cornerback again?
He's a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
I mean, what he is doing and being able to adapt week in, week out, changing positions, that is not easy.
Yeah.
In terms of your preparation, in terms of your technique,
yeah.
everything changes when you go from corner to safety, safety to corner. And for him not only to do that, but to be balling out.
The way he has, right?
Literally, put me wherever, coach. Put me at linebacker.
Yeah.
I'll make some sacks.
He's laying dudes out, too.
Yeah, he's laying dudes out.
He's been great in coverage for the most part. And, you know, and that was one of the knocks on him as a cornerback, which is one of the reasons why they moved him to safety. You know, to me, he was always one of those guys where he never got burned, per se. I mean, it seemed like he was always around the wide receiver, but it was like, you know, the ball was thrown behind him. Or yeah. he's just always out of position ever so slightly. He makes the move to safety, doesn't miss a beat, but again, because the guy's getting hurt, and then, of course, the guys you brought in, Kayvon Webster, he hasn't done, I mean, hell, he's been hurt, played, yeah. what a series,
yeah.
tweaked his hamstring, we didn't hear from him again. Tell you what, Sharice Wright, considering what you got, you know, you picked him up off the street. He's been halfway decent.
With what they have around them, but that's what you need is guys that understand, hey, I'm going to be the target here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the matchup this week.
Yeah.
The ball's coming my way because they're not throwing it other way. But so can I hold up on my end? And that's what he's doing.
And that's exactly what he's done.
Hold up.
No, and again, here's the deal. No one's getting him confused for being Patrick Peterson by any stretch of the imagination, but they have done a good job. So, yeah, my good. Justin Reed, okay, who's going to be in the discussion for Defensive Player of the Year. He tweeted out this morning that he misses the bye week, or he loves the bye, but he's ready to get back after it and hit somebody. So that tells you all you know about where Justin Reed's head's at.
Wow.
Honey Badger has been about what you expect. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, again, has had flashes of greatness, but he's also been just okay at times. But listen, he's third on the team in tackles right now, tied for the team in interceptions. And I'll tell you what, I feel like in the last few weeks where you've seen them bring him in more on those corner blitzes or safety blitzes, I think has really changed the defense, which is why I think they've had, 10 turnovers forced in the last 4 weeks. So it says a lot about what they're trying to do on that side of the ball and the Kareem Jackson, as you already mentioned. So I got to give a good to the defensive secondary considering what they've gone through and how they've been able to hold up. So that's James Ahedebo. I'm Fred Davis. That's our boy BP. The lovely Joanna on watchinaloop.com. Coming up next, Brian Jones. Who? Brian Jones joins us next to talk all things college football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.